Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and I'm joined this month by Dan Morin of Clockwise and Quinn Rose from Mixed Feelings to talk about nerdy events, meetups, cons, and what they mean to the community. Hey guys, welcome to March. It's here. It's almost done, really.
It's good to be here in March, Stephen. Thank you.
It is. Have you been on the call for 19 days, just waiting to start?
Always. I've just been waiting, checking my watch every once in a while, wishing I could leave my desk.
That's pretty good. And Quinn, you're here. You just got off a plane like 10 minutes ago, it seems like.
Yeah, I've been home for about 20 minutes.
Well,
so I'm ready to go. I'm always ready.
Yeah.
Dedicated podcasting right there.
Yeah, if you ever need somebody to fill in, there's the bat signal in Gotham City in Relay City. It's already breaking down. We have a Quinn light, and we just shine it at the clouds, and she appears ready to go out of the mist.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
It is. It was an expensive light, so I'm getting good use out of it.
That's good. Yeah, you don't want to spend that much money on a light and not use it.
We're a small business. You know, it's money doesn't grow on trees. So we're going to talk about nerdy events. And this kind of came to mind for me. Last week, I was in Chicago for the Mac Power Users Meetup. And it was just, you know, a couple hours at a restaurant. And a bunch of people showed up. And David and Katie, the host of Mac Power Users, were there, of course. And we just kind of got to hang out with some listeners and catch up with each other. And it was a really great time. And anytime we get to do one of these, so we do them with the Pen Addict, we do a RelayCon at WWDC every year. Doing these things is a lot of fun for me because I get to get out and meet listeners and like people who have emailed back and forth, and we have Twitter exchanges. Like getting to put a face to that conversation is always really something that I enjoy. And it got me thinking that a meetup is kind of a like one way to do this, and it's a little unique for us, right? Because we're usually kind of on the hosting end of things. But I know the two of you both have kind of checked your nerdy passports a couple times at different events and different cons. And I thought that would be kind of fun to explore this month and talk about maybe why those are a little special. So Quinn, I know you just went to an event like this. What was it? What was it like? Kind of what was your experience?
Yeah, so I just went to an event that was literally called NerdCon. And so it was NerdCon Nerdfighteria, which was a celebration of 10 years of Nerdfighteria, which is John Green and Hank Green's community that they've built around their YouTube channel and their various projects like Crash Course and SciShow and VidCon and John Green's books and this whole thing. And so it was actually held in Boston, where I live, which was super convenient for me. I almost always have to travel to go to these things. So I actually went with my sister, and we just got to spend the day there. And so they had panels and meetups and various like bigger events and presentations. Like they had a live podcast recording and stuff like that. And so it was very focused around just being able to talk about topics that were important to the community and meet other people in a very low-key, no-stress kind of way, which is not, I would say, a typical con experience. Usually they're pretty high strung, but this was deliberately created a culture of just being kind and interesting, which I thought was really cool.
Hmm. And Dan, I know you travel a bunch. It seems like every time we talk, you are on your way somewhere. And a lot of times that's a nerdy type event. So what are some of the things you've done recently?
Well, most recently I was in Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con. Which is probably pretty different from the event that Quinn just described, right? Because you were saying, Quinn, that most of them are a little more high strung, and I think this would probably qualify. I'm not sure what the attendance was this year, but it is in the tens of thousands. And it is basically like going to even Macworld Expo in its heyday, you know, did not probably have the kind of attendance that these things have. And this even pales compared to, I'm sure, the San Diego Comic-Con, which is sort of the big main event for that realm of events. And so Emerald City is, it's a big conference with a whole bunch of different tracks, a whole bunch of different aspects to it, everything from a show floor with exhibitors like selling things, you know, comics and merchandise, games, books, all of that stuff. And then it has panels, it has some live podcasts, it has interviews, autograph sessions, all this stuff. And it's hugely commercial in one way, which is an interesting end of the spectrum for sort of nerdy conferences, because, you know, you pay obviously to go. It's a very commercially produced, professionally produced event. There are some ancillary events that sort of tack onto it. I've been going to a charity, sort of a charity board game event that's been attached to it via Patrick Rothfuss's World Builders charity. And so there's all these sort of other events that glom onto it, but it's also a great opportunity, as many of these things are, to sort of catch up with other people in this field and get a chance to meet new people who are also nerds. And oftentimes, you know, it's just like, to do things that you can't do anywhere else. I always love to go and gawk at the celebrities. I'm not a person who's going to pay $50 to take like a picture with a celebrity, but I'll like walk through the autograph room and be like, oh yeah, look, Jason Momoa. He's like 50 feet away. He's still gigantic. And so, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities, these things. I have done things like that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have gone to, back in January, I was at an event called Confusion, which was outside of Detroit, Michigan, which is largely a fan-run con that is largely focused probably on sort of a lot on books, like sci-fi and fantasy books, but with some sort of general nerd interest as well. And that one was probably more like under 1,000 people. And you would go to like panels and there would be like 5 people in the panels. I know, because I was on several panels, and you look out and you'd be like, ah, good. The audience outnumbers our panelists. That's always a plus. So there's a huge spectrum of these things, which I think is really fun, because it gives you a chance to sort of either experience everything that spectrum has to offer, or to sort of pick and choose and go to the kind of events that you more likely to enjoy.
Yeah, I think for me, the, you know, you rattling off a number of tens of thousands of attendees, like, A, it just stresses me out as a human being. But, you know, I've been to Macworld, been to WWDC a bunch of times, been to things like XOXO and Release Notes, and I definitely tend to be drawn to the smaller conferences and not so much these big, like, you know, multi-day, even multi-site big events. And I think one reason that I find, like, things like, you know, XO or Release Notes or something more attractive is the sense of community, where there are people there who either I already know, or at the very least, I know that I have the potential to get along with them because we have similar interests, right? Like, if you fly out to WWDC, you're interested in the same general type of stuff I'm interested in, we should have a conversation. Like, we have that sort of common ground. And I wonder, is there a size, or is there a type of event where that sort of gets lost a little bit and you're going and you're more of a spectator than part of the community? And what do you guys think?
So for the type of cons that I mostly go to, I would say that I primarily go to things that are more community oriented, or just feel like friendlier in that way. So like, I've been to GeekyCon in Orlando and BroadwayCon in New York, and I went to XOXO, and these are, GeekyCon and BroadwayCon and NerdCon are all kind of focused around but focused around an audience that I fall into, which is teen/early 20s teen girls who are really into fandoms. And then comparing that to my experience last year when I went to Boston Comic Con, which was like very much a standard mainstream, like, there are too many people here kind of convention. I do think that there's a huge difference there. And I think that when you go to something that is more specifically focused on a particular topic, that sets the groundwork right away for being able to start that community there. And then it's just about like how the con is organized and if the organizers make conscious decisions to build a friendly environment. Like, do they have enough chairs? Do they have enough water? Are there too many people in the event space? Like, are lotteries or are autographs and pictures done by free lottery, or do you have to pay $100 to get them? Like, all of these decisions along the way build the culture of the event.
Yeah, I agree. I think it varies widely. And I think you tend to see with the sort of the for-profit commercial run events, things like the Comic-Cons or Next month, I'm going down to the Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. And, you know, these are money-making events to a certain extent. So people are trying to turn a profit. And that doesn't mean they can't be well-run. It doesn't mean that there isn't a great opportunity for community building there as well. But it's definitely a less intimate setting. It's sometimes more impersonal. I think it's fun at some of those to find the smaller events. I did the Star Wars Celebration a couple years ago with a couple friends. And we did the a scavenger hunt that was sort of like put together by the con, but it was clearly a much smaller self-selecting group of people who were like, I'm not going to go walk around a giant exhibit floor looking to buy things. I'm going to participate in an event that involves solving puzzles and like running around the con. And so, you know, that was only maybe like 100 people instead of like several thousand people. And so it's nice that that can exist within the framework of a larger con. Obviously, there's a lot more that you could be doing. There are so many choices and you can't do everything. And contrast that with some of the smaller fan-run cons. And I think that the at those, the networking and the community end up being, for me, the most important part of it. When I went to Confusion in January, one of the weird things about that con is, even though it's a fan-run con and ostensibly, you know, about books and media and that kind of stuff, it's very heavy on professionals working in that environment. So it's disproportionately so. So like, you know, out of maybe 700 or 800 people, you had like 100 or 200 professional writers or editors, agents, that kind of stuff. And that seemed kind of weird, but it was great for a networking and a like camaraderie perspective because, you know, while a lot of the attendees were off doing, you know, the events, a lot of the pros would be sitting around the bar and like it's a great time to just sort of sit around and chat about things that you have in common or about, you know, the fact that you work in the same business, etc. And so it felt a little bit more like some of the events, Stephen, that you were talking about where you go to and know that you have sort of a common baseline of experiences. So I think that the community is an extremely important part, but it really depends on what you're looking for, right? Like sometimes I find the bigger cons fun to go to just as a matter of spectacle. Like there is so much there going on and so many experiences that I wouldn't get a chance to anywhere else. Like it can be exhausting and tiring and overwhelming at times as well. But it definitely offers something that you can't always get at the smaller cons, and vice versa. The smaller cons offer a more intimate setting where you can really like sit down and talk to somebody for a long time and really get to know them, which I think is a lot harder at a con with 70,000 people.
Yeah, absolutely. Each kind of convention brings different benefits. And so maybe you definitely hate like bigger conventions or smaller ones, but like, or maybe you just like a combination of both, which I think would be most people.
Yeah. You know, one thing I think about in this conversation, we've talked about the sort of the size and the culture. And I think it's really interesting that these things pop up in all different types of communities, right? They're sort of parallel worlds. You know, we have ours sort of in the Apple world in which I live in, but then there's obviously science fiction. There's all these different sort of parallel nerd universes, right? That there are similar things going on in all these different types of communities. And depending on which one or which ones, plural, you're a part of, you can kind of come into these events and experience it. But I know, and we all know, unfortunately, that sometimes these things have issues where there's some sort of code of conduct issue or some people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and the organizers have to deal with that. And I'm curious, you know, when the two of you think about these events, about sort of their place in nerd culture, what do you think are some things that people who attend cons or events or especially people who put them on should know about having a bunch of people in the same space and what should be expected of those attendees?
Well, I mean, you know, absolutely. Anytime you have a huge number of people like this in close proximity, it's important to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and everybody feels safe. And so having, you know, something like a code of conduct obviously should be a huge priority, if not like your top priority in dealing with this, because especially at a paying con, I always feel like where people are spending their money and often not just money, but like time, getting plane flights, buying hotels, all like this, like you should be making sure that these people have a safe, fun time. And, you know, I think that often is something that companies don't always think that much about. But in my experience of the ones that I've been to, I think they tend to be pretty good. The Comic-Cons in general, especially, I feel like in the past few years, have really committed to providing that kind of environment. And I think especially because you have a lot of these events, you have the huge influx of cosplayers. And I think, you know, being a cosplayer and is something that often seems like people gravitate towards for... there's a weird sort of effect, right, where people sort of depersonalize the person wearing the costume. And so, you know, you get a lot of things where people like taking pictures when they might not want to have pictures taken with them, or posing with them when they feel uncomfortable with that. And so having the whole cosplay is not consent thing, I think, is a really huge and important part of these events. And because the fact that the cosplay has become so important to these events as a whole and such a huge part of it, like going to Emerald City Comic Con, you know, I would say something like a quarter, a third, maybe even half of the people are in costume. And so, you know, that's a huge chunk of your audience. And so you want everybody who is partaking in that to feel like they should be totally free to come and not get harassed because of the costumes that they've decided to wear. So I think it's a really important part of it. I've feel like my experiences in general have been really positive, and especially I was noting at Emerald City Comic Con this year, I felt that so many of the booths and the people who were there were making strong attempts to be inclusive and really kind of appeal to all sorts of people, no matter their background or, you know, anything, any aspect. Like, it just felt very welcoming in a way that I feel like a lot of these events can feel sometimes very hostile. And I've definitely been to some events in the past that feel a little more hostile and a little more aimed at like particular people from a particular community that are not welcoming to people outside of that community. And I don't go to those anymore because they just were not pleasant events. So, I think that's really important. I'm heartened by the fact that so many of the events that I go to seem to have taken that taking that to heart in terms of adopting these kinds of codes and making sure that everybody is safe and comfortable.
Yeah, I definitely second the whole concept of code of conduct being incredibly crucial, and also that I've generally had a very positive experience at cons with them feeling inclusive and welcoming and not having too many visceral issues with that kind of thing. And I do think another really important thing about making everyone feel safe and welcome is the relationship between the attendees and the special guests. Because there are some kinds of conferences and conventions where the line is really blurred and it's not a super important distinction, but some where it really is. And I know this has been a problem in particular with VidCon, which is the largest online video convention, where the guests, these top YouTubers, are so famous that there's been a lot of problems with them being rushed, and security issues and like huge fire hazards when people gather. And so I think that like for organizers of conventions, really have to think about who is going to be a special guest here. Like, do we need security for them? What kind of security? How are we going to make sure that everyone feels safe and no one gets crowded or run at or screamed at? And then for the attendees, like, think about your own behavior and like making sure that, yeah, you want you and your fellow guests to be comfortable, but also the featured guests are people as well. And like, you need to make sure that they feel safe being there or they're not going to come back. And that would be really sad for everybody.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there is a growing awareness that you have to set forth some boundaries and much more importantly, actually enforce them, right? That if you're at an event and something happens, you need to feel that whoever is running, whoever the organizer is, or, you know, staff member helping or volunteer helping, has the power and has the tools they've been equipped with to deal with anything. I find the concept of, you know, the cosplay is not consent particularly interesting for a couple of reasons. One, cosplay is not something that I've taken a part of. It's not something that I particularly find something that I want to do. Like, it's just something that, I don't know, it's just not in my personality. Like, I didn't like Halloween as a kid. Even like expressing myself that way is not something that's in my personality, but I know that it is. And for so many people, it is a really profound way to connect with a character or with a story or with a community. And making that a safe place, obviously, is paramount. So that leads me to the question for the two of you. Is that something that you guys partake in? Is something you enjoy? Or are you kind of like me where I see it and I can appreciate it, but it's not necessarily for me?
I'm kind of like you, Stephen. I was never a big Halloween fan. I liked it, but I kind of grew out of it very early. And I am in awe of so many of the cosplayers that I see at these conventions, because the amount of work that goes into it is truly, it's just amazing. And there are so many people who put so much time and effort into it in a, it's just a craft that I've never even been able to wrap my head around. Like, I see the people, you know, who make their own Stormtrooper armor and they walk by and I'm like, that looks real. I don't even know where you would start. Like, I don't even know how
really
to, like,
awesome.
How do you make that? Like, yeah. And I love it. It's amazing. I am not at all good at it. And it's not something that is, you know, it's not a way for me to express myself, but I think it's amazing. And I love seeing all the costumes that people come up with. And at the, especially at things like the Comic Cons, where there are so many fascinating fusions of, like, people mixing things from totally different fandoms. I mean, also apparently you can combine anything with Deadpool. Like, that just seems to be the one, like, commonality. I have seen so many different, like, Deadpool mashups with other things. It's just, it's crazy, but it's great. So I love it. And it's one of the, even just people watching. And I don't mean that in, like, a, like, objectifying sense, but just, like, being able to sit there and, like, see the people in the costumes walk by and just be like, that's great. That's a great costume. Like, that's super fun. I really love that part of the con.
Yeah, when I was at Boston Comic Con last year, it was right after Suicide Squad had come out, and I have never seen that many Harley Quinns in my life. It was incredible. Also, I love Halloween, and I love dressing up. I have never cosplayed, like, in any context besides Halloween, because I've been pretty intimidated by it, because, like you were talking about, people's costumes are incredible and they spend all year making them, and they just look like they walked off a movie set. I'm in awe. Yeah. And so I think I'd really like to cosplay at a con someday, if I had a really good idea for a costume and how I could put it together, and that if I felt reasonably sure that it'll be comfortable enough to spend the day in, because I'm not going to go that far. Right. But one day, maybe.
Yeah, Dana, I like that you called Alex. So much of this stuff is handmade and made with, like, great care. I subscribe to Tested, Adam Savage's, like, website and YouTube channel and stuff. And so many of his videos are like, I'm replicating this single prop. I'm replicating this single aspect of a costume or of a set. And the attention to detail and the passion, like, you know, you're freezing frames in a movie or a TV show and, like, making measurements on your laptop screen. Like, that is so interesting to me, because it's like at the end of the day, I think all nerds are basically the same. Like, that level of obsession varies, but it's the same type of obsession, right? Like, for even the three of us, they're different things, but those things that we're passionate about and that we're nerdy about, like, we can get way down in the weeds on something, right? Like, no one in my household cares that I know the difference between, you know, like, these variation, like, subtle variations in iBook, right? Like, no one cares. Like,
yep,
trust me.
Yep. that is all our cross to bear.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing that excites me, and that's what I love about this. It's what I love about meetups. What I love about cons, that, like, I have this, like, central theory about creation on the internet, that it, like, the internet is the thing that allows you to find other people who are into the same weird stuff you are, right? Like, it doesn't matter how obscure or how vague or how unusual, like, the internet can connect you with those people, right? Used to be on BBSs and then forums and podcasts and, you know, Facebook groups and Twitter, like, all these things. We can find people who are interested in the same stuff we are. And meetups and cons and events are just that in real life, right? Like, it's all the people in the Eastern Seaboard who are, like, super into this one thing, you know, all in the same place. And you get, like, a really, like, distilled version of it, like, all together. And that's, I don't know, it's just something that really fascinates me about nerd culture and internet culture in general, that even though a lot of people may be more comfortable online, like, there are these times where where we see each other in person and get to hang out and, you know, have a drink or have a meal or, you know, share part of our lives together that, not, and maybe not people in our families or our friend group, you know, at home don't share with us, but these other people do. And in a way that becomes like a type of home for us, you know, whether it be for a week or a weekend or, you know, however long it may be.
There's really nothing better than that experience at a con of sitting down across from someone who was a stranger or an acquaintance, striking up a conversation about a particular topic and just like realizing then that like you're like an hour's gone by and you've been like going down the weeds of like how great this thing is, whatever it is, and really getting to the point where you're realizing that you made a new friend, right? Like, and that sounds a little cheesy, right? Because we think of making new friends so often as like something you do as a kid, right? Like, oh, I made a new friend today. But like the idea that you can still do that as an adult is awesome. And the ability to like sit down, and I've definitely had those conversations at cons with people and like just have it turned into like there are people I've met at cons that I now consider very good friends. And that's, it's great. It's awesome to be able to find those people. And like you said, the internet really facilitates these days, but like sometimes there's no substitute for sitting down across a bar or a, you know, a table at a restaurant or whatever, and just like really getting to talk to someone face to face.
So do y'all have upcoming plans for the rest of the year? You guys going to get out and see some people?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go to Star Wars Celebration in next month, which is in Orlando. I'm going with a couple friends, and I'm also the week after running a 10K there that's Star Wars themed. So, hey, that should be fun. I did 5K today, and that's going to be, I'm going to be wrecked that day. And later in August, I'm going to Worldcon, which is the big sort of fantasy science fiction literature related event, and this year it's in Helsinki, so I guess I'm going to Finland.
Nice. I'm going to UL in April, and I'm going to be not attending WWDC but being in San Jose during that time. And I also heard that Now Hear This, the podcast convention thing, is going to be in New York this year, so probably going to that too.
Awesome. Sounds like you guys are going to be busy. I think the only thing I've really got planned is WWDC. I would like to make it to UL, and we should say, Quinn, you are speaking at UL, which is super awesome. So if you have not signed up yet to go do that, and you can hear Quinn speak. I don't know. I find myself kind of I find myself in between worlds sometimes. Like, I'm not really a developer or a designer, so some of that world really isn't for me. But I'm really mostly nerdy about computer stuff. I don't know. I find some of the stuff hard to connect with, but that's the beauty of it. There's a place out there for everybody, right? It seems to be the moral of the story tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you both for coming and hanging out. If you are listening and want to find show notes, you can do so in your podcast app of choice or on the website relay.fm/fusionmembers/3. Thank you all for making this possible. This is a members only show of Relay FM, so your support makes this possible. If you're listening to my voice right now and you are not a member, we're not mad. We love you and forgive you, but you should be a member. You can learn more at relay.fm/membership. You can support some shows. Again, Dan is the co-host of Clockwise. It's on Wednesdays, 30 minutes, tech topics. It's a very stressful show to be on because it's four topics in 30 minutes, and the clock is always ticking, and it's just lots of pressure. And then Quinn, co-host Mixed Feelings, comes out on Thursdays about news and politics and pop culture. Great show, a lot of fun to listen to each week. And until next month, adios.